fantasy sports and politics.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Mr. FSP. Don't want to do what I do it for you. Here on a Saturday morning, if you're on the West Coast, afternoon, if you're on the East Coast, and if you're in Europe, good night or good morning, whichever one. But on today's show, JT and myself, we will be discussing a couple topics that are really hot right now. One, the importance or the significance of college union, where judges have ruled that students or student athletes are not just student athletes, they are employees. And that is very significant. Very significant. So we're going to talk about that. DeSean Jackson gets released by the Eagles off of suspicion of gang ties to a group in California that he might have grown up with or been around. And the Eagles, who just signed this guy last year, if I'm not mistaken, to a big-time contract, come. And then the information gets leaked that he possibly might have been involved with a group that committed two recent homicides. Now, they didn't say he did it, but he might have ties to those folks. And that's something Stephen A. Smith was on Arsenio Hall last night talking about. And we're going to talk about that today as well. Also, there's something still going on called March Madness, and it's going into the Elite Eight. All right, Virginia got knocked off, so I'm out of the brackets and most of my stuff. Michigan State barely advanced. If a foul was called on a push off, I think we're talking different. But we'll see. So we got that. Oh, by the way, Jerry pulled off a trade. Now I can't say I'm hating on him, but I would hate on him. Maybe. Just maybe. Depends on if the trade goes through or not. But we'll see. But ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I've talked too much. On the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline, my co-host JT ATM Money is primed and ready to go. JT, talk to the people.
Well, hello. You see that? This is the first time, and Victor, you should commend me. This is the first time in your opening intro on Saturday that I did not interrupt you one time. I let you flow and use all what you wanted to do on your intro and was patient enough. I can't believe I did it, but I'm proud of myself. I'm patting myself on the back that I stopped interrupting you in your opening monologue, and I'm happy to be on the show. And, yes, I pulled off a decent trade. And then we'll some part in the show. We'll talk about it. But you have some interesting subjects that we want to get into, and I'm happy to be here. I'm ready to talk. In fact, I think we probably could talk for 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours, on a variety of these subjects. But let it go.
You're absolutely right on that, JT. You're absolutely right. I'll say this, homie. I'll say this, that this week has been a very, very big week in the world of sports. Not just, pro sports or anything like that, Let's talk about collegiate sports real quick. Northwestern. Last year, or during the summertime, or during August-September time frame, we were discussing the whole issue of Northwestern unionizing. And not September. It had to be during the bowl season, so it was December time frame. Well, several months later, a judge comes back and says that this group, they're right. They are considered employees and not student athletes. So they are entitled to some form of payment. Basically, when we had the subject up a little while ago, you had something to say about it. So I'm opening up the floor to you and let you begin and tell me what you think, especially since this is the first time it has been legally done.
Yeah, well, I've been on record more than once to saying that you shouldn't pay college players because it's opened up a Pandora's box. Well, these smart guys from Northwestern decided to take it to the courts, and the courts disagreed with me and agreed with the student athletes, saying that they should be paid. What they're really looking for is better medical coverage, concussion testing, quite naturally a 4-year scholarships, and quite naturally, like everyone knows, if they unionize, they're looking for a possibility of being paid. I still say that's opening up a large Pandora box for a set of athletes, whether they be male or female, that will be vulnerable to a lot of seedy characters that once you offer money up, like the going said, the saying says that money is the root of all evil. Well, if you get used to having a certain lifestyle, a certain way of having money, and you have more money, you spend more money, it creeps into that other portion of society that is offering something for something. And that is the worry I have of college sports versus athletic sports, where they get paid millions of dollars. College sports, even if they have a union and they get a certain wage, they're not going to get the I wouldn't say, what's the wage? Let me put it that way. You get into a union, and what's going to be the standard of the amount of money you get? It opens up a lot of, like I said, it opens up a lot of issues other than just getting into a union and getting paid. It opens up a lot of things that could just, I wouldn't say destroy college sports, but put college sports in a very bad light with a group of people that want to take advantage of it for monetary gain.
So, if I'm reading between the lines right, you're more afraid of the possible influence of sports gambling and point shaving and other issues like that being prevalent with these kids getting this union. I mean, are you worried about, a person, getting an endorsement or whatever the case may be over their teammate and their team not performing well? What precisely is the argument?
We'll say Northwestern, okay? What's the wage scale? What's the wage scale going to be? Say they get whatever it means. They get $500 a game. Each player gets $500. I'm just putting a figure out there. They get $500 a game. Okay.
Okay.
Some players are going to be prudent about that, and hold on to that $500 for as long as they can. And quite naturally, being 19, 20, 18-year-old kid, they're going to spend it like it was the last money on this earth. And then what happens with the next game? Now, you're seeing $500 a game that these kids get. So from week to week, one kid has his $500. Next kid is broke before the half the week is out. Now, he gets used to spending his money, so he's going to look for someplace else to get this money. You follow? You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you open up a Pandora's box when you start paying kids from a union. You start paying them a certain amount of money that at that age, in a college atmosphere where parties go on a lot and things are, except for their sport, are unsupervised, a lot of things can happen. I know a lot of things can happen in college sports now without unions in here. But now you open up a Pandora's box. These kids now have some money, regardless of what it is. So if you lay a kid out there with some money, to go a bit slower, do a little bit less in a game he's in, now the red flag is not really up there because he's supposed to have money. We gave him money for the last game. Even though he may have blew it, no one knows he's blown it, but he gets some money from somewhere else to blow a game. You follow what I'm saying? You're leaving what the NCAA has put in place as, okay, these kids get a stipend. They don't have that much money. They really don't have that much money. But now if you make them unionized, now you give them a certain amount of money for whatever the wage scale is. Now you're missing that wall, that sonic wall or whatever, that protects that kid and the NCAA from – seeing this kid has money and where did he get it from? Now, because they get money, because they're unionized, now that money could come from anywhere. The kid could blow it in one night and still have the same amount of money the next day because somebody gave it to him. For what? From what? For what reason? You open up a Pandora's box, and I'm just putting one scenario out there. There could be several scenarios out there that would hurt the university, quite naturally hurt the kid if he was put in a bad situation because of accepting some money from someone. It's just opened up a Pandora's box. I understand that they want restitution because the fact is the institutions and the conferences make so much money off these kids, money off the way they play, money off jersey sales, things like that they promote from individual players on individual teams. But where does it end? How do you control this before it gets out of control? It does a lot of things that have to be answered and have to be specifically spelled out and leave no stone unturned in order to, if they're going to do this, do it right and protect the university and also the kids, or young men and young women, I should say. I shouldn't say kids. Young men and young women.
Now, I can agree with you on that to the point that, you know, A kid now, the one and dones, we're talking about one and dones and stuff like that, right? They've already got their eye on the prize, so to speak, going here, going there, doing this, doing that. So there might be some backdooring or some I don't want to say illegal stuff going on, but I understand your concern and your issue. My part would be, you know, there are a lot worse things going on. Whereas I'm not saying a kid's going to throw a game. I'm not saying a kid is going to, you know, go out and be the bad guy, so to speak. But let's say part of this union, and we already know, you know, the healthcare and stuff like that, part of the union rules is that there's some sort of financial management that needs to take place. You feel what I'm saying?
Meaning sure.
That each one of these student athletes that are receiving the money, $500 or we'll use that as a base, because that sounds about right. That's about $2,000 a month for, what, 3 months? Because, and that's pretty much their stipend, right? That's $6,000. And then you get extra for the, you know, the bowl game or whatever. So this kid or that kid, they go out and they pull their money together and they start a business or whatever so they can make more money with their money, which is illegal because they're student athletes. They can't go out and do that. But with this ruling saying they unionize, they can form a business under that union and pull more money in, and whether or not, you know, they're taking money on the side is irrelevant at this point because it's getting done now anyway. Just the big players are doing it. You know, the other part of this is if you are going to pay medical or anything from everybody that's on a sports team, you're going to have limitations on your roster size. No more will you have the Ohio States with 86 or 100 players on that sideline. Just imagine paying each one of those kids, even though they might not be playing, they might not be stars, but you got to pay them. You know?
Plus the fact is, and I heard this somewhere, and I forget where I heard it, but it makes sense, and I'm reading. I read an article here, and it's nowhere mentioned in this article. But if you're in a union and you're getting a wage, you have to pay taxes on that.
That is correct.
You have to pay taxes because you're getting a wage from your employer. So. Whereas these student athletes don't have to pay taxes on anything. So if they get a scholarship, a full ride going to wherever, that's like winning the lottery. That's like winning a car. That's like winning some type of prize. You have to pay taxes on that. Okay, since you're in a union now, so you're considered an employee. The scholarship is considered
a payment.
Yes, exactly. So your family or you have to pay taxes on that amount of money each year that your scholarship is in effect. So like I'm saying, when you do that, you open up a Pandora's box. I'm giving you one scenario with that can be a negative thing. Toward the university and the student, and I'm also going on the other side of the spectrum and saying this, if this goes through and they're deemed employees, which, I mean, the judge agreed with this, but if they deemed employees, their monetary gain is taxable. Anything that they get monetarily going to school with a scholarship or even a wage for each game they play is taxable. So
yeah,
you go to
correct.
A school, it's $50,000, $60,000, $100,000, depending on a year, depending on what school you go to and what kind of scholarship it is for being a student athlete there, you have to pay taxes on that yearly. So be careful what you wish for, because there are ramifications of that.
Now, on that same subject, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but let's look at what Jeff talked about Thursday, how one of the students at Grambling decided not to take the court because of the poor conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that was this whole striking thing. Now, if you could put yourself in this judge's seat, so to speak, and be able to write the legislation on this, how would you, as an individual, as a judge, policy writer, make it so that this union is good for the kids and for the school? Meaning, how can we protect these kids and the school at the same time? Or can you not protect both?
Well, someone's going to be left unprotected. There's no two ways about it, because I really can't answer that question, but the simple fact is I'm not well versed in labor law or any kind of law between employer and employee.
You can give your uneducated thought process.
Well, I mean,
we do it all the time.
Let me put it this way: you get a four-year scholarship to somebody. That's like winning a lottery, a yearly lottery.
Okay.
Which you have pay taxes on. I don't see how you can legislate that or write a law or find a law that's going to get away from that, because that's, you see it on TV, you see it in real life. People win lotteries. People win money. It has a monetary gain that they win. They have to pay taxes on it. There's no way of getting around that, in my opinion, unless I'm missing something, unless, like I said, I'm not well-versed. I'm just giving an uneducated opinion on it. But if you win, if this stays in place, every student-athlete is going to have to pay taxes. That's in the union. That's going to have to pay taxes on, I would say, the scholarship, because something that's given to you, a monetary gain, something that's given to you for you to play sports.
Okay.
And since you're an employee, you're going to have to pay taxes on it, because that's free money. Basically, that's free money, even though you have to put in labor to get that free money. That's basically free money. That's not a wage, unless you can and if it is a wage, you still got to pay taxes on it. So I don't see how you can get away from that.
I got a suggestion. I see how you can do both. And I'm going to play junior judge. You know, we do it all the time on the show. We give our opinion on what people need to do and how they can do it. So here's my thought process on it. This makes it easier for the student athlete or the high school kid to lobby for not going to college and going straight to the NBA.
Wait a minute. Before you go to Vic. Now, the only and tell me if I'm wrong here. The only sport in college that I know of that requires a student athlete to stay in school for at least a year is basketball. Football, I'm not exactly sure. Excuse me?
Football, you have to be there for 2 years or a certain age.
Okay. So it's football and basketball. But football and basketball are different. Once being basketball, your requirement is a year. Another one, football, your requirement is at least 2 years, or you meet a certain scenario, age scenario, whatever. So it's different. That's a difference there. So you're still going to have to pay, in my opinion, pay taxes on it, but I'm sorry for interrupting your point. Go ahead.
That's fine. I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying. My point is that you have players that want to go directly to the league, whether it's NBA or NFL, and this is an opportunity for them to either go to college, learn, or experience that college life for a couple years, as it is in football, or a year in basketball, whatever it may be, and have some financial structure set up. As I said before, these schools will put their finance departments to test. Have these guys become their financial managers. Financially manage their money. Give them a taste of the real world. Allow them, and I honestly think, I'm not saying every student-athlete should be a business major, but every student-athlete should take some type of business management set of courses. I don't care what your career field is. Also, public speaking. But that's besides the point. The way to protect these guys, in my opinion, if they're in the school and it protects the school, they have their, you know, financial managers help them with their funding, say, okay, look, well, you're getting $500 a week for this game. All right, got it. You're good. Now, let's budget it. Okay? You already get limited amounts of time to practice with these kids. So that's why you have to make it part of their curriculum that they have to do. Okay, you know, well, we're going to, instead of being fictitious with the money, saying, okay, well, Johnny has X, Y, Z, no, you really have $500. You want to do this. This is what you can afford to do. And, you know, this keeps a record of where their money is going as far as, you know, knowing if a kid has it, if a kid doesn't have it. If a kid, you know, decides to pool his money or pool his money with his friends, cool, got it. That's why you go to a financial manager. Now, on the opposite side of it, the kid that comes out and says, you know what, I don't want to go through all that. I don't want to be taxed on, like, $500. If I'm going to be taxed, I'm going to be taxed on $10 million. Okay. Where are you taxed on $10 million? Learn the hard way until your money flows and goes away. Gotcha. But at the same time, the school is protected based upon the ability for the financial group to manage the student athletes. They also don't have to give out so many scholarships and or limit the size of the rosters, which some coaches don't like. Some coaches like to have like 100 guys so they don't burn out their guys. But if you're going to get unionized, if you're going to get paid and you're going to do this, well, I'm going to work you, guy. I'm going to work you, and you're going to show me all your talents or, you know, we're not going to give you that amount of money. For instance, blue chippers, they're going to get paid a lot more than, well, they shouldn't, but theoretically they will demand more money than Johnny Snuffy on a corner, because I'm selling more of that blue chippers jersey in the school union hall, you know, in the store. So part of that union agreement, in my opinion, would be, okay, well, you know what, since Denard Robinson is making University of Michigan so much money off of the sale of his jersey, or Johnny Manziel making so much money off of him, we'll give him a portion of that, which is taxable, which goes into part of his union contract. When they sign those letters of intent or their commitments to those schools, they're supposed to be binding documents. You know, when they get released from those letters of intent or what have you, and go to a different school, then you have to start over a whole new negotiation, just like you would if you were getting recruited for somewhere else. Start all over, get the parameters and all the other stuff, and keep going. If they want to be in the real world, if they want to play in the real world, then this is what they're going to have to deal with. And, you know, I agree. They do need to be paid. I do. I do think so. However, if you're going to get paid, you got to be able to deal with the consequences of being an adult and dealing with that money. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got about 10 seconds before we go to the top of the hour. I want to thank everybody. Well, not the half hour. We had a good conversation Jerry and I did about the college unions and the impact of this ruling. Now, nothing is set in stone. The appeal process can take place, and if even if the appeal, you know, goes the way of Northwestern, then you still have to work out the legalities of it all. How does it work? That's what Jerry and I were just trying to do. But we're going to move on to a topic that's still college-related. Mr. Taylor, how are your billion-dollar brackets going for you?
Oh, I got destroyed this yesterday, over the last 2 days, especially when I have Louisville winning it all. So that pretty much destroyed my bracket because quite naturally Kentucky surprised Louisville and beat them. And I hate to even look at my bracket, to tell you the truth. Let me look at my bracket right now while I'm talking to you here see how bad I'm actually. I know I'm pretty bad. I'm on the bottom of both of my league tournament pick-ems. Let me see now. I still got Florida. Quite naturally, I picked Ohio State to go to the Elite Eight. That ain't happening. I picked Michigan State. I picked Virginia to go to Elite Eight. That ain't happening. I picked Iowa State to go to Elite Eight. That ain't happening. I picked Creighton. They lost a few round of 32. So that's not happening.
That ain't
so
happening.
The only ones I have in the Elite Eight that are still standing is number one Florida in the South, number one Arizona in the West, and number two Michigan in the Midwest. My East bracket is completely blown out. I don't have any. Once Virginia lost and Iowa State lost, I didn't have anybody going to the Elite Eight. So in Louisville, which Kentucky totally surprised me. And the problem with Louisville, they couldn't hit any freaking foul shots, which killed them. Kentucky moves on. So against Michigan.
Well, I got a question for you, Mr. Taylor.
Yes, sir.
What rank are you?
Excuse me?
What rank are you in the bracket?
I am on the bottom, if I'm not mistaken. Let me look. In the fantasy sports and politics, I'm 13th. And you happen to be 10th, holding on by a thread. But your possible points are less than mine.
Well, I ran into a buzzsaw like you did. I have one team left, which is Michigan. You know, because my final four in this particular group is Ohio State, Creighton, Virginia, and Michigan. And it looks like Michigan might be facing Michigan State in the final four because I got Michigan State killing UConn. I don't believe UConn got past Iowa State, but with the injury to that player, we talked about this when it happened last week. You know, with injury to that guy, you know, he was an impactful player.
Absolutely. That's why I was saying that. I had, once that guy went down, I knew I was in trouble with Iowa State because that guy's, he's not a fringe player. He's an impactful player on that team and big man. So he went down and sooner or later, I was thinking I had to catch up to him and they caught up with him. So.
Yeah, it did. So. And again, Virginia, they battled to the very, very end. I mean, 1.6 seconds left in the game and almost pulled it out last night against Michigan State. So I was close to having two teams in, but and that's on this particular bracket. So right now I just need Michigan to go to the final game. Whether they win or lose is irrelevant because I have them losing to Virginia. What about my other bracket? My other bracket, I think I have a different set of players. And the possibility of me getting more points is there. I actually have three of the four players still alive for the Final Four. I have Florida, who I think is going to be Dayton. Even though I told you, Dayton is on a roll, man. They're on a roll. Michigan State, Arizona, and Duke. Well, we know what happened with Duke. So there's a need to go there. But I still have Arizona. I still have Michigan State, and I still have Florida. So my worst bracket could end up being the best. Now, the bracket I had for the millions, which nobody's going to win, I think I'm in a very similar situation, whereas I only have Michigan and Arizona because UCLA lost to Florida. And, again, I thought it was going to be a better game than it was, but it wasn't. Florida came out in the second half and took control completely. But I had UCLA, Virginia, Arizona, and Michigan. So, you know, AZ or Michigan, I think, well, you know, Arizona needs to beat Wisconsin. I think they can do it. I'm not sure if they will do it, but I think they can do it. So we'll see there. But out of all these games, what are your thoughts, Mr. Taylor?
Well, my thought is that one thing I got to admit to the NCAA and the bracket committee, they got the West right for the simple reason number one is versus number two to go to the Final Four. So that they got right. These other ones, and like we had talked to a board and I had talked before, that this Midwest bracket was a murderer's row of teams. Wichita State, Kentucky, Louisville, I'm trying to think who else was in it, who lost Duke, who lost early, but it still lost. That to me, if you look at what the brackets, was a murderer's row, and you knew that some of these quality teams were going to get knocked off early. Didn't know Duke was going to go out in the first round. Didn't know Wichita State would go out in the second round. Didn't know Louisville, even though they played Kentucky, and even though I think Kentucky has a very good record against Louisville playing lately, that this young Kentucky team would beat Louisville, and Rick Pitino coach team, even though Cal Perry's a hell of a coach, wouldn't think they would get past number four Louisville. So that wasn't too surprising, but East bracket and part of the South bracket was pretty surprising to me. And it's going to make, you know, I don't think Dayton has a shot against Florida at all. At all. No shot. They have no shot against Florida. Look who they played. Look who they played. They played Ohio State. They barely squeaked by Ohio State, which is fine. Ohio State's a good team. Then they go and play Syracuse, and they squeak by there. They play Stanford. Now, Stanford beat Kansas, but they beat Stanford by 10 points. Well, the scare that in the first half, Florida had to get UCLA, just like you said. They dispatched them pretty handily come the second half. And I think that's what's going to happen to Dayton. And I always say this, a team that is inferior against a superior team quite naturally gives them their best shot for as long as they can sustain that best shot. And quite naturally, the better team is going to see what this supposedly inferior team best shot is and figure out what their weakness is and then take advantage of that and move on. I think that's what's going to happen between Florida and Dayton. I think it's going to be relatively close, maybe in the first half, and in the second half, just like they took over from UCLA, they're going to take it over from Dayton and say it was a sweet ride to your round eight, but from here on, you got to go. I'm really excited about these matchups because I see Kentucky and Michigan being a hell of a game. Because Kentucky seems like they've gotten a lot of confidence since the beginning. Oh, it's near the end of this past season. Seems they've, I wouldn't say, yeah, I think they've grown up. Because Cal Perry in the beginning of the season said, this team is horrible. This is an absolutely horrible team, and they don't know how to play together. And in the beginning of the season, most part of the season, they weren't playing well. They're winning some games, but they weren't playing well. Well, come tournament time, these guys seem like they got their act together and are playing extremely well together. And they're a real young group of guys headed by a hell of a coach, by Calipari. And Michigan's going to play all they can have to try to get past this, to get to the Final Four. To me, the way Kentucky's playing, I don't think Michigan wins this. I think it's Kentucky all the way that goes to the Final Four. So, and Arizona, I think, is going to dispatch Wisconsin. I have no doubt about that. Dispatch Wisconsin. So, I say it's Florida. The two number ones, Florida and Arizona. And I say it's Kentucky against Michigan State in the Final Four.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that because I have Florida going against Michigan State on one side and Arizona and Duke on the other. But I like Kentucky. But I think Michigan is going to, you know, pull it out. Now, the reason why I disagree with you on the Dayton-Florida game is that Dayton is pretty good from outside. They don't have to really worry about a lot of rebounding because their outside shooting is pretty much on point. Now, the problem is when they're not on point, Florida's going to get those rebounds. And I'm telling everybody, anybody that's ever listened to me or listened to us on this show or any of our shows, in college basketball, when it becomes turning time, it's all about the rebounds. In basketball in general, some people say, you know, the flash and dash is great. But if I can grab 12 offensive and defensive rebounds and turn them into 10 points, that means the other team didn't get an opportunity to get the ball and did not score. And I've set my team up for a better opportunity. So with Florida and Michigan, the winner of that is going to win the NCAA tournament, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there. My brackets aren't totally busted, but they're pretty jacked up. They are pretty jacked up. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get in on this conversation, you can always call on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline where winners win and players play. That number is 347-637-3220. Again, 347-637-3220. Jump on board. Enjoy the show. Call in. Give us your take on what's going on. And some other little knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone, jack, crap stuff. We'll take it. We'll talk about it. You can also go to blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Click on that show, that live show, and you'll get the chat room. I'll look there. I'll listen. I'll read. I'll talk back to you, do what I got to do. We'll see what happens. It's all for you. Now, we're going to take a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about Jerry's cousin. You know what I'm talking about, Jerry?
I have no clue.
And it's your cousin from another mother, from another planet, all that in the back, and I just can't stand it. DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we'll be right back in a minute, ladies and gents.
If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety. If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to learn today. It's me, it's Mr. Stephens Fee. I'm back in the bed and doing what I do because I do it for you. All alongside of me would be my cohort, my ace boon coon, my guy that ride or dies, JTATM money. It's time for me to punch up them numbers and get some money sent my way. Not just yet. We're not there. We're going to talk about this investigation stuff with the NFL. Then we're going to get into some fantasy baseball with JTATM money and how I'm going to take some of his money this upcoming baseball season. But, JT, I know the big topic is DeSean Jackson getting released and why he got released. But I think there's an even broader topic that a lot of people aren't focusing in on. Well, first, for those that don't know, and I'm not sure why you don't, if you follow sports, football, to be more precise, DeSean Jackson, formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles, was released from his newly signed contract with the Philadelphia Eagles 1 year after signing the contract. You know, it's a $10 million that he's owed this year. However, sources are citing Philadelphia as saying the reason why they released Mr. Jackson is because of his quote-unquote gang ties. The suspicion that he hangs out with or grew up with or knows or associates with certain types of players gave them the right to terminate his contract. Now this, I'm going to take it back to two situations that I find to be rather interesting. This one, a lot of people might not remember, but as soon as I heard this whole gang affiliation thing, it made me think about this. Dante Culpepper, former first-round pick of the Minnesota Vikings, former Raider, former whatever, Detroit Lion. If you remember, ladies and gentlemen, and if you follow hip-hop music and the Minnesota Vikings,
when Manny Fresh and his group, I forget, not Young Money because that's Lil Wayne's group, but whatever the group Manny Fresh and the Birdman put together down in New Orleans, they had a song called Get Your Roll On. And in the video of Get Your Roll On, you could see Dante Culpepper and Birdman, you know, doing the speed back punch thing, as in Get Your Roll On. Well, that video, that version of the video lasted, I think, maybe 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks, and they got edited. Then the story came out that the Minnesota Vikings had, you know, told Dante Culpepper he could not be associated with or seen with Birdman and that organization anymore because of the criminal activity that they talk about, that they have been convicted of, and possibly still affiliated with. So Dante Culpepper was edited out of the video, and as far as I know, was no longer seen with them. However, he was part of something when they were doing the purple drink thing with the codeine and all the other stuff. So there were some legitimate concerns that the Minnesota Vikings had. They didn't terminate his contract. They didn't do anything about it. They just told him, look, you can't be with this dude, and they needed to edit the video. Got done. Okay? That's one situation. Then, I just forgot about the other situation I was going to talk about. But you've got, Aaron Hernandez. Now, quite possibly this guy did all the bad things that he's been accused of. However, Aaron Hernandez, the former Patriot, before he was convicted or arrested, the New England Patriots released him and, you know, said that they had probable cause to believe that he was involved with some type of gang activity, so they terminated his contract. Now, none of these, and in both of these scenarios, the police were not involved. Private investigators for the NFL and the NFL organizations did the research, did the legwork, and found this information out and used it to terminate the contracts of two players. One, you know, I'm not going to say that was the reason why Dante Culpepper got terminated. I'd say Randy Moss left the Minnesota Vikings is the reason why he got terminated, along with Robert Smith. But his contract went away, but he was put on warning. Aaron Hernandez, you got multiple people saying he killed a guy and he shot another guy in the eye and some other stuff. So gang affiliations, suspicion, brings us to what happened yesterday with DeSean Jackson. He grew up here in the Bay Area. I am in California. He grew up in this surrounding environment, which is not the best for, you know, a lot of people. A bunch of folks. It's not good at all. But when you have that type of profession and you have that lifestyle and you have that acceptability and that money, you're a bigger target. Especially if you did certain things or hung out with certain people as a youth. So they cut ties with him, and some organizations will not go after him. Reportedly, six organizations are pursuing him. One being the Oakland Raiders. Again, where he grew up at, where he supposedly has his gang ties to, he unequivocally denies it, But, of course, I wouldn't admit to it either, knowing that that could end my entire NFL career. And if my boys are my boys and they understand that this is that important, that they'll step aside and be like, hey, look, nah, Deshaun can't hang out with us. Deshaun can't do that. Once Deshaun's finished his NFL career, then Deshaun can decide, da-da-da-da-da. His boys will make the better decision for him. But, again, this is all speculation. But what if, Jerry, what if this stuff is true? Does the NFL and its private organizations have the right to investigate an individual and terminate them off of speculation? Nothing proven or done in the eyes of the law as far as a courthouse, but what right do they have to do this? Your thoughts.
Well, I'm reading an article as you speak here, and Deshaun Jackson, one of the guys that you that was charged with the murder a few years back, was a purported member of the Crips. He also was had a rap name who recorded for Jackpot Records, which is a label owned by Jackson. They were close enough. They appeared together frequently in photos. I'm looking at a photo with the two together. So even though he may not be in a gang, from what I'm seeing here, he has associated with suspected gang members. And besides him being a, and I had talked about this last week, Vic. I had talked about this is a California guy, in my opinion, is a me type of guy. And he's suspected of, even in a game against you guys, he threw up the a Crip sign, a gang sign. And he's done it more than once. And even though he may not be in a gang, he may associate with people that have ties in a gang. He's taken pictures with them, arms wrapped around each other, like, you know, shoulder to shoulder or something like that. No, I'm not talking about, like, in lovers type of wrapped around.
I got you.
So even though he's not a gang member, he knows, I got to believe, him growing up in California and where he grew up, I got to believe he's the type of guy, just like a lot of these young guys, these hip-hop type guys, it's all about me, it's all about the money. Look at me, like I said last week, and want to keep it real. You know what I'm talking about. Want to keep it real type of guys and don't want to distance themselves from somebody that can hurt the millions of dollars that they can make in the NFL and don't want to be a called a sellout or whatever because they're improving themselves in their life and they got to move on and cut ties. He don't want to be that type of guy. He want to be loyal to his friends. This is what gets you. And the NFL, any team in the NFL right now, if you think that one of your players is associated with a gang, just look at what happened to the Patriots with Aaron Hernandez and his supposed, if not real, gang relationship. So any smell of that, any inkling of that, and they're going to just cut ties. And that cut ties means $10 million to Deshaun Jackson. Now he may get it somewhere else, but like I said last week, and I'll say it again this week, he's got to go to a spot that is a no bull spot. Won't take anything from him. The first inkling of trouble, late to meetings, discontent with the coaching staff. Any TO type of symptoms, being disruptive in the locker room, on the sidelines, and it's all about me and my teammates, the secondary, you're out of here. He's got to go to a situation like that. Otherwise, it's just pandering to a spoiled, rotten kid. And I hate to say it like that, but the idea is you're just feeding the frenzy instead of finding a solution.
So. Now, JT, the whole state and all that has that type of no nonsense, we're not going to take it, they're the ones that got rid of Aaron Hernandez.
Yep.
You're telling me they're gonna take on Deshaun Jackson, even though...
No. I'm saying he's got to go to an organization like that. There's no way.
There's only one.
No, because you see, there's not just one. Let me put it this way. I think there's two organizations that I think he can go to. Right off the top of my head, that one, he has a lot of respect for the coach, and I think he'll toe the line because of what the coach has done for him. And the other is a long-established organization with a solid coaching staff that has a tradition of not firing a coach from 1 year, keeping that coach in place for a lot of years. I'm talking about one
crazy offensive coordinator that's going to cause a fight on the sideline.
I'm just about to name it. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I think that offensive coordinator has pretty much toned down his the way he is quite a bit, and I think it's because of the organization. I think he's towed the line. And they won't put up with that, especially his head coach won't put up with that. And the organization won't put up with that. And I think if he went to the Pittsburgh Steelers, it would be very beneficial for him. Or if he went to his old coach in Kansas City, that's two
Ooh.
Scenarios I think would be beneficial
Ooh.
To him and the team. But if he goes to Oakland, where he is from, in California, look out. Look out. That's all I can tell you. Look out. That's trouble. That's
all
asking
right.
for trouble.
All right, here's two things, and you piqued my curiosity, because I didn't think about Kansas City. One, because Kansas City, they have a high blood Crip gang number there. So I don't
mm-hmm.
know if that's going to be a safe spot for him, especially if he's claiming Crip or whatever it is. But under Andy Reid, he would listen.
That's what I'm
because
saying.
He knows that. I mean, and I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. He would listen because Andy knows how to take control of him and do stuff.
Right. Right.
But Pittsburgh, on the other hand, give me 1 second.
Hello?
My bad. I apologize. My boys got on about a waffle. Jeez. Anyway, going to Pittsburgh, and we talked about this last week, that would be a good idea, mainly because it keeps him in the state. I think that Mike could control him because Mike will give him that look with them big eyes. Troy Polamalu will control him. Is Ryan Clark still there or is he a free agent?
Yes. Yeah, he's still there. Okay. Ike Taylor's still there.
Okay. Ike Taylor, Ryan Clark, that each side of that locker room will keep him in check. And Ben, he might not be that guy, but he would be like, okay, look, we're not here for no trouble. You know, this is a blue-collar city. We're a blue-collar team. You got to become blue-collar. You know, so I can see that taking place. But the Kansas City thing intrigues me only because if you look at what they have, you pair him with Jamal Charles, that's just like having him and Brian Westbrook or Shady McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you give them, well, they lost Dexter McCluster. They lost somebody else on offense. I don't like Alex Smith, but he's coming back for another year. You got a couple good players on offense. He's an impactful player, and they have the money. I wonder, would he come in there and do what Andy Reid wants? And would he wear red? That's another thing. Would he wear red if he had prep? I'm just saying.
Well, see, I could be reading this guy wrong, but from his antics on the sideline and on the field, I don't think I am. I think this guy is a me guy, it's very vocal and undiplomatic in the way he goes about things. I don't think he's a Chip Kelly type of guy. I mean, he's a hell of a football player, but dealing with a coach, and I think he may have had issues. The coaching staff may have had issues with him, and this was a easy way to get out of it. And this story's got so many tentacles. You don't know what to believe. He has to go to another team and toe the line. If he doesn't toe the line and he's got problems there, then he's another a smaller version of T.O.
You know what? I can see that. I can see that. Part of it, I also believe, is that when you have so much talent, and his father died, you know, so he doesn't have that male influence in his life. He is a father himself. What is it you want to show your kids, man? Are you trying to be proud of who you are and what it is you do and have your kids look up to you? Or are you going to be that one guy that is, you know, I don't know, that's the hey, I used to be, I could be, I was, but I never did. You know, DeSean Jackson is a world of talent, However, I'm not sold on his abilities to, let's say, be the quiet guy. I don't think he can be the quiet guy. And that can be his detriment, as you said. But at the same time, on a team that might need it, you know, he could be a spark. And Matt Schaub needs another receiver. I'm not saying put this dude in the environment here and let him go back home, but I'm thinking about it this way. If what Philly suspected is true, and he does come back to Oakland, is he that stupid to be seen or be around or involved with any of these folks that he's allegedly accused of hanging with and the reason for losing out on that money? Because now he can't be guaranteed any money. That $10 million was guaranteed as long as he was on the roster. If he goes to the Jets, okay, you know, Rex is going to go crazy, but is John Isaac going to, you know, let this guy run rampant? The only reason why Isaac let San Antonio Holmes do what he had to do was because they owed him money. Isaac didn't bring San Antonio in, and Isaac didn't re-sign San Antonio and give him all that money. You know what I'm saying? And where is San Antonio now? Out on the street. He may or may not get picked up by somebody, but he's not playing in the NFL anymore. You know, again, a bunch of talent wasted. A bunch of talent wasted. We got about 20 minutes left alive. I don't know if you had anything else you want to say on that, JT. If not, I was going to move on.
No, let's move on.
Yay, all right. Since we're talking about a bunch of talent wasted, let's talk about Jerry Taylor and his baseball team. His fantasy baseball team. A bunch of talent wasted. But this man has found a way to parlay his weak team into a contender of sorts. I'm going to say this. Jerry has a bunch of solid bats, but his pitching was terrible. Other than Clayton Kershaw, who just so happened to have an injury and is no longer starting playing Sunday night, because Sunday night is the beginning of the baseball season.
Mm-hmm.
And he was scheduled to pitch, but he got scratched, so they're going to put somebody else up in his place. But in a blockbuster deal that Mr. Taylor made involving Kershaw, he receives Joe Mauer, Ryan Skinny Braun, I'm One Brawny Kid, and John Grilly.
Jason
Grilly. Jason Grilly. Four, and I give the other guy credit for getting this from me, because I was trying to get something very similar. But, you know, I gave Jerry an opportunity to make another deal with somebody else and see if they accepted it, and apparently they took the deal that Jerry offered. And it happened to be last year's champ. But he sends Matt Waiters, who I traded to him earlier on, Gene Shigura, who I wanted, I believe this is Donald Brown or David Brown.
Dominic Brown.
Dominic Brown, thank you, from the Phillies, and the guy I was targeting for the entire draft, Clayton Kershaw, to last year's champ. Now, last year's champ, a drop of the player, I'm not going to mention him, only because he's irrelevant at this point until he hits the waiver wire, so I'm not going to, you know, say too much about him. But I will say this, he's dropping a good player. But Mr. Taylor, tell the folks out there the situation as to how this came about. You can even tell them about how our deal was going down and why you made the offer, the counter offer that you did.
Well, let me put it this way. I wanted Ryan Braun, because you know I like Ryan Braun. My catcher is a very weak catcher, even though he strikes out a lot and he has power, but he strikes out a lot and his batting average is garbage. I wanted a guy. If I'm not mistaken, I think Mauer is going to be maybe the number two batter. So he's going to be getting a lot of opportunities to move runners on and also score. And he plays two positions, not just catcher. He's catcher and first base. So I wanted Mauer to take the position of my catcher that I had a weak batting average and a high strikeout rate. I knew I had to get a quality everyday player for Clayton Kershaw, and it had to be within the top 10. So I targeted Ryan Braun. Once the guy made me an offer, I made a counter offer, and I knew I had to throw in not just Wieters, not just Clayton Kershaw. I knew I had to throw in a couple other players, like Gene Segura, and I knew that's just a lot of players are on fantasy baseball players' tongues right now, and Gene Secure is one of them. I had him last year. I had him, I think, the year before. Well, I had him last year, definitely, and I think I had him the year before when he was a rookie, or whether he was a rookie last year, whatever it was. I've had him, and he's played well, but Gene Segura was lights out for the first half of last year and was lights dimmed the last half of last year, meaning I don't know if he can where is Gene Segura at? Is he what he was beginning of the season last year, or is he really what he was the last half of last year, or is it somewhere in between? Didn't want to take that chance. He's got a sore shoulder. So I put him in a deal to see if I can get a taste, and then I also threw him Dominic Brown, who's a power hitter, but he's streaky. And I knew if I could get Brian Braun, it would take the place of Dominic Brown, and I also get a catcher who's got dual position, and I wanted the quality. I wanted the best closers from a good team, along with Andrew McCutchen, who I have, and Jason Grilley. So I took that shot and countered with what he had offered me originally, and it didn't take long for him to accept it, which is fine. I have a plan. There's one or two pitchers that I'm thinking about getting, and it's a toss-up right now. I'll decide by the time tomorrow comes when this trade is concluded. And then we'll go from there. I do have two number one pitchers. All right, I had three, including Kershaw. My pitchers don't look, if you look at just by what they're ranked, like they're great pitchers. But I think I can roll with these pitchers along with the bats I have and have a very good year. And I took a shot in the draft in getting Matt Kemp, and it looks like Matt Kemp is 100% ready to go. And by this week, this time next week, he should be back in the regular lineup. So I'm looking pretty strong in what I originally drafted, and this is my second trade before the season even starts. I'm feeling good about my team. I know it looks like my pitchers aren't all that, but I have a plan, and I think my pitchers are going to hold up very well.
I'm glad you feel that way, Mr. Taylor. Unfortunately, I strongly disagree.
Sure, fine. Well, I can't compete with your pitching staff. No, that's true. There's no doubt about it. I cannot compete with your pitching staff. But what your strength is in your pitching staff, you lack greatly in your everyday hitters. So when we play each other, we're probably going to balance each other off. I tell you that right now. Because my bats are very strong. I really like my bats now. Really like my bats.
Okay. I mean, your bats, they are. There is no doubt that your bats are head and shoulders above a lot of the rest of the leagues. But we'll see. We'll see. This year, I believe the categories are even. There is no extra category in pitching versus extra category anywhere else.
Oh, really? I didn't. Did you eliminate something, or what?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, it's 10 by 10. I eliminated, I believe, for the bats. I eliminated the at bats. So you don't get any points for at-bats, but you do get points for runs, hits, home runs, RBIs, stolen bases, walks, strikeouts, total bases, errors, and average. So it's a 10 by 10. So, you know, the funny thing is I know that I'm going to dominate in the pitching category. I don't think I'm going to lose. If I lose a week or if I lose a category, I don't believe it's going to be pitching, unless it's, let's say,
maybe a hold. I might not get a hold. But innings pitch, no brainer, unless my guys get hurt. ERA is going to remain low. Wins, the guys I have, they pretty much win. Saves, I've got, now that I've traded away to you, Fernando Rodney, I have three of the best save guys in the game. Joe Nathan, who's saving for the daggone Detroit Lions, so I have plenty of those. Jim Johnson, who I think Oakland's going to do well. And Koji Uehara for Boston. And I've got their setup guys. I have the Dodgers setup guy, and I have the Red Sox setup guy. So we'll see what happens there. Life could be better, but my bats are decent. They're coming around. I like the fact that Milky might not be the home run guy anymore, but he's an RBI machine and he's an on-base machine. So that's helping me out a lot. We'll see what happens, young man. We'll see what happens. We got about 9 minutes left alive there. Just wanted to talk about that real quick, only because we had a conversation. We had a long debate or negotiation, and we finally agreed on something. And, instead of me being magnanimous, in my magnanimousness, whatever you say, I allowed you to, finish the market, test the market a little bit before I pulled the trigger. I was also mistaken thinking that Champ didn't pay his fee yet, so I was like, well, I got that in my back pocket. Wrong. He paid. So my only hope now is that this trade gets vetoed and I can pull off my deal with Jerry.
I have. I think almost every position in my lineup, is an all-star, either last year or the year before. My everyday lineup and my batters, every one of these guys, either was an all-star last year or the year before.
Jerry. Isn't that what you had last year?
No.
I thought you had like almost every player when you were starting roster was a all-star.
Almost. Oh. I mean, let me put it this way. I got some legit guys here, really legit guys. And the guys that were before, like Hanley and Matt, they were in and out of the freaking lineup. They couldn't stay in the lineup, and they were killing me. I got some guys that are dependable guys that don't normally get hurt except for Reyes and maybe Matt Kemp that are going to be in the lineup day in and day out. So I'm really loving my lineup. You guys can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want about pitching. No, it's not what you have in pitching, Darvish and Felix Hernandez and Verlander. No, it's not that. And C.J. Wilson. No, it's not like that. But
and Joe Nathan and Jim Johnson and your girl and AJ.
But
and Brian Wilson.
These guys, these are strikeout guys that can get me some strikeouts and some wins. They can get me some strikeouts and some wins even without Clayton Kershaw. They can give me strikeouts and wins. Gio Gonzalez is on a good team. Lance Lynn's on a good team. Kuroda, he's been pitching extremely well. Alex Wood's on a decent team. And Wheeler and Garza is only two. And they're number one pitchers. They're only two that I got questions about on the Milwaukee Brewers and the New York Mets. So I added a closer to my relief pitching, who's one of the better closers in the league, especially in the National League, from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I'm feeling good. The only position in these categories, just like you said, is the holds. I may not do that well in the holds because I don't really have a setup guy on my team. So.
Okay. Well, my friend, we'll see what happens. The season is young. We're going to have fun. Got about, 5 minutes left in the show.
You just better worry about winning your first match.
I'll win my first match. I ain't worried about that.
Well, I got a question for you. Is that Andrew?
Yeah, it is.
He's the only one that hasn't paid, you know.
I know. I got to see him at drill.
I know.
I'm going to talk to him.
Okay. But, well, the first is Tuesday, you know.
I know. Young man gets paid. I'm going to send him a text as soon as we're done here, actually, and see what happens. Maybe you should call him out and see if he responds.
What do you mean call him out? I call him out any day of the week. He's a chump. He thinks he's going to get out getting beat by not paying. Maybe he should put his money up so he can take this ass whooping like a man.
Ooh. I think you should go ahead and put that in a message and post on the message board so everybody can see that. That would be delightful. But anyway, with that being said, JT, Ethan, money, I want to ask you what's happening on the master plan tomorrow.
I'll be talking about baseball. I said I was going to be talking about fantasy baseball, and that's what I'm going to be talking about. And as I'm talking to you, I'm emailing the whole league and I'm saying, "Hey, Andrew, Hakuna Tejada." Hakuna Tejada. Hakuna. How do you spell that freaking name here? Let me make sure I spell it right, because I don't want him to come back. If you can't spell it, don't push it out of your name. T E J A D A.
Uh-huh.
Hold on.
Tejada. Ladies and gentlemen, we're
pay
live
your money and take your ass whooping like a man. Hey, Andrew, pay your money and take your ass whooping like a man. How's that?
That's pretty good.
I'm not afraid, man. You know me.
We'll see. But ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, JT ATM Money will be doing the master plan. He's talking fantasy baseball and a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything. We'll see what else comes on today. I'm interested in seeing what the NFL Top 100 looks like. That kicks off on Monday. I don't know. What's so funny?
I sent it. I sent the email.
I know. I just got it. But I'm interested in seeing what the top 100 is, mainly because a lot of folks were saying that Robert Griffin III wasn't looking the same or anything like that. And if you remember last year, Jimmy Graham wasn't even in the top 100. I bet you he's in the top 100, maybe even the top 10 this year. So I can't wait to see what this looks like coming up. I think it starts on Monday.
No, it doesn't.
When does it start?
That starts.
I keep seeing commercials for it. I thought it started today. I mean, on Monday.
No, as far as I know, it starts in May.
I guess I don't know.
Hold on, man. Let me just look.
Okay. Well,
I thought they said that was in May.
We got about 10 seconds of live air. But if it does, it does. But one thing I want to probably get to is if Jim Kelly passes, you know, I said if Jim Kelly passes, I want to discuss that because the owner of the Bills passed, and now Jim Kelly with his battle, it's not looking good at all. You know, it's not looking good at all. But he got to see Andre Reed at least get named to the Hall of Fame. Hopefully he gets to see him go in the Hall of Fame because I know that that was important to Jim Kelly as well. But I'm going to talk about that next week maybe. On Thursday, you have FSP Crucial, JTHN Money, along with Black the Bookie and Jeff Joker. They'll definitely be talking about March Madness. By that time, you will have seen and have probably the Final Four. Because the games start tonight, Saturday. You have the Elite Eight tonight and tomorrow, which is Saturday and Sunday. And then I think on Wednesday or Thursday, you have your Final Four. And then that Monday, you have the big game. It's either Sunday or Monday, you have the big game. I'm not sure which one. But that will be interesting to see. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Friday, No Chaser, 7 p.m., Matt Williams, Jerry Taylor. Jerry, you might have to let me know what's going on. Is it a go or no go, or is it continued?
Yeah, we will definitely, he and I will definitely be live on Friday. Definitely be live on Friday, without a doubt.
All right. Okay. All right. And then you're back here next week, FSP has to work. So the quality of programming might go up if you don't hit the mute button when we're talking. That's all I got.
No, that's not going to happen again. That was a very, very rare thing. And you probably caught that show and found out what the heck was going on with no sound, and then all of a sudden it pops up at halfway through the show. But, hey, I made a mistake. I admit it.
Well, actually, I'll tell you what happened. Blog Talk Radio saw that, and they clipped it. So they only allowed the last 29 minutes and some change of the show because somebody complained that they couldn't hear the show. And the admin listened and saw that there was an issue. But they didn't know it was the operator issue. But, hey.
Is that right?
Gotta be sweet. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, sometimes you got to be just a half a percent smarter than the equipment you're using. That's
yeah, you're right. You're right. And that's my bad, and I'm sorry about that. I didn't realize that. Wow. Okay.
So one of your devoted listeners.
Wow.
Bad Jerry. Wasting his time, JJ Mike. Okay.
Wow.
Well, what do you want to end the show with? How do you want to, you have anything you want to say, you want to add, anything like that?
Nope. Just stay tuned. Tomorrow we'll be talking about baseball, definitely talking about baseball since the baseball season is right around the corner.
Okay. The one thing I want to say is this, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to see how big of a set Mr. Taylor has right about now. Mr. Taylor, we see each other in a couple of weeks. What is the wager?
What are you talking about?
Fantasy baseball.
What about our matchup?
What are you willing to put on the line?
Oh, we don't. We can look at that when it comes up. Right now, it's a few weeks away.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, we saw how the size of his. They're about the size of walnuts. He doesn't have enough.
No, wait a minute. The season hasn't even started. Wait a minute. The season hasn't started, and our matchup doesn't come until. I'm not exactly sure when it comes.
I'll tell you in a second. I will tell you. Un momento, por favor.
I don't know how you can find that
Taylor,
out.
Week three.
Oh, yeah, week three. Okay, week three then. Week three we talk. We can talk. Week three then we can talk how FS Blink and Die is going to match up with Moneyball. And see then. Or between week two and week three.
I mean, if you had a set bigger than a size of like two raisins, you would put something out there right now.
Well, I'll table it like this. What's the first letter of set?
S.
Yes, and I have some sense. I wouldn't put that out there before the first week of the season when we play the third week of the season. That makes no sense.
It's all right. I understand.
I already have a standing with who do I have a standing one with?
I don't know.
Is it Bull Street Bullies or that next year with the football? I'm trying to think who it was.
Put it out there. I think it's football.
No.
But it might be baseball.
I think it was fantasy football, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
Remember
we had that individual on here, and I called him out on the radio and said I beat him every week. That when we meet, I think that was in football though, if I'm not mistaken.
He was
a champ of one of the football leagues. I'm trying to think of what it was. I think he was a champ of.
No. You talking about Coon Asses?
Yes.
Yeah, Coon Asses. Nah, he don't play baseball.
Oh, he was the champ of football, right?
Yeah, he was ESPN's football champ.
Yeah, I called him out on football. Okay, I just want to make sure of that. Okay, no problem.
All right, okay. Just making sure you get your facts straight. I know you don't want to be stretched too thin, especially
you
gotta pay me.
Oh, yeah. I'll pay you like you paid me. You didn't.
Hey. You paid. I paid you the way you paid me.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Remember that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Anyway, enough of that.
Okay.
I just want to thank you for coming on the show. We didn't have a lot of sound bites. Well, we didn't have any sound bites today, but I was looking for some, and I got caught up with the kids, so I didn't have any. But ladies and gentlemen, next week, J.K. Tim Money will probably be singing his praises about how he defeated JDK 2013 and hopefully, you know, giving me praise for defeating Hakuna Tahada and telling you how good I am and how scared he is of me. So that's the plan. We'll see what happens. And it just so happens, week three is when I get all my aces to go double games. I'm just saying. No hope for that guy. All right. We're about to get ready to get out of here. I got to get ready to go. JC's got to get ready to go and do something else, I believe, like help Jermichael Finley and some other folks get a job. But
wait a minute. Before you go, I got to ask you why you picked up Brian Wilson.
Why did I pick up Brian Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
Two reasons. I got Brian Wilson because Brian Wilson is the setup guy for Jensen. And in the event that Jensen needs a day off or Jensen messes up, Brian Wilson becomes the closer. So I got him for holds. That was the primary thing. Secondary is when the weak arm of Jensen or you know, they want to give Jensen a break, Wilson gets the save. And thirdly, if Jensen messes up, Brian Wilson becomes the closer. So
Just asking.
I'm just doing a little forward thinking. That's all. A little forward thinking. I'm going to take my boys outside real quick. We're going to go throw the baseball around before the thunder and rain comes. Then we're going to sit downstairs.
It's like that. It's raining right there, like that now. I sure wish I had this Dustin Pedroia, but okay.
Well, you know what? You could have had Dustin Pedroia if you would have tried to screw, you know, the pooch on Fly Tool, and you would have said,
nope.
Hell no, you could have came back to me, because then we could have made the deal.
You wouldn't have made the deal. You didn't want to give him up.
I told you Pedroia, Fernandez, or Kershaw and Segura. I was willing to do that. Excuse me. It was Verlander. My bad. It was Verlander. It was Pedroia and Verlander for Kershaw and Segura. I was willing to go there. But, again, me being Mr. Magnanimous and saying, let me allow him to do this before, you know, this trade goes through, and then it's like, why is Dick and Jerry always trading between each other? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, it's okay. I don't mind the hate. But I sure would like Ryan Braun.
You didn't want. You had him last year. You didn't want him.
Well, that's because I needed help at pitching. I wanted to keep him, Bautista, and Harper, but I had to get better pitching. So,
mm-hmm.
Trust me, I wouldn't have got rid of him if I didn't have to. But you know, I'm always listening. One skinny Braun for another. All right. Gotta get out of here, old guy. Anything you want to say before I hit this button?
No. Well, yeah, I do want to say from Victor and myself, I'd like you guys to tune in tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Master Plan. But until then, you have been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy.